From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Dustin visits with Tori Sorensen, U.S. Soy Excellence Center Chair. Riley is joined by Greg McBride of Allendale for a South America weather and crop update. And I will wrap up my conversation with Christy Wiebeck, the Chief Officer of Research and Conservation with the Iowa Soybean Association. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
All right, Mark, let's go here ahead of the USDA's prospective plantings report out tomorrow. It is really starting to dominate the conversation. Will the acreage switch from corn to soybeans be as dramatic as what USDA had suggested back in February, or make corn gain some of those acres back? Be interesting to watch them come out tomorrow, Dustin. We'll, of course, have it covered, as always.
Yeah, indeed we will. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And, of course, you know, it was really interesting this morning when I was looking at the overnight trade and the analysis going on there as well, how much mention they're saying that the pressure is on the grain markets, at least right now, while we're waiting for that planting intentions and the acreage intentions report, is also the pressure that's on the cattle market has really started to drag into the grain complex as well. Of course, you know, you need soybean meal, you need corn, you feed these cattle, and so therefore it's just a symbiotic relationship. So it's interesting how this is playing out. Even when we're kind of in that holding pattern for the report, something is going to find a way to affect the market. So we'll see how that's playing out. In fact, Jim McCormick right now from agmarket.net can be sitting down with Mark Magnuson as they talk about what's happening in these grains so far this Wednesday morning.
Joined today by Jim McCormick of agmarket.net for our opening market discussion. Jim, what are we seeing taking place in the grains?
Hey, good morning. We are unfortunately seeing a little bit of weakness in the overnight market. Corn down 4.5 cents across the curve. Beans down anywhere from 6.75 in the May contract down to 5.75 in the November beans. Wheat market's trading a little bit better, a little bit mixed, steady, a little bit lower, steady, a little bit higher. A lot of this market has to do with the weakness yesterday. It felt like a lot of the length, though there's not a lot of it, there's some of that length that came out of the market in anticipation of tomorrow's big reports. I mean, in general, I think the market's bracing for what they fear could be at least a negative reaction to the report, whatever the numbers come out at.
And Jim, I know that typically it does seem like the USDA Ag Outlook Forum does give us a pretty good, I think, ballpark of at least where those numbers are going to be. Is that kind of how it has played out in the past and kind of what you expect as far as what those numbers should look like tomorrow?
Actually, it's really kind of interesting. I mean, if you look at the Outlook Forum, they kind of give you a good guide. But, I mean, I can find years. If you look at, like, last year, you essentially had the Outlook Forum came out. Then the intentions report said more acres. And then it was when it was all said and done, Mark, then, you know, by the time we got to the final number, there was even more corn acres. The year before that, it was reverse. The Outlook Forum came out with corn acres, and each report followed out by the planting intention, followed out by the final change, we'd actually lost acres. So it gives us kind of a guideline, but by no stretch of the imagination is it a guarantee. The only thing I'd say is a little bit of a bias. You know, if the acres are dropped a little bit from the Outlook Forum to tomorrow, I would argue there's maybe a little bit of bias that the final number may be even a little bit less.
And with a month or two difference between those two things, you know, the planting intentions report and then the Outlook Forum back in February, that can change, can't it? Because maybe farmers decide to plant something else based on the weather or something that's happening to them regionally, doesn't it?
Oh, exactly. I mean, because also got to remember, what's the Outlook Forum? It is just an industrial, it's an industry of the USDA's guess. And it's just kind of a guess off of assumptions of maybe what's going on around the world now, as well as what their, you know, what their constituents and what they're hearing on the ground. And then you got the farmer survey. But even the farmer survey, I would argue, is still kind of up in the air. A lot of producers, you know, I think it's kind of what they want and what they feel like they want to do is what they tell the government on this number. And then when we get that June revised number, it is what you actually planted as a producer. And there definitely does seem to be some changes.
Well, we'll have more coming up from Jim McCormick, agmarket.net, later on in the program, talking about that very volatile livestock market, including the cattle. First, Andy Peterson standing by. He's got the first three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
A lot of discussion on what to expect from the prospective plantings report out from USDA on Thursday before, of course, the three-day trading holiday. Joe Camp from Comstock, good Iowa Ag Matters advocate, says there are similar acreage totals typically to the February USDA estimates.
For the most part, we should use those February outlook numbers as a baseline. And it was last year that the corn acreage intentions number went up by 1 million acres above the February estimate, and soybeans were exactly even with that number. And so we do have expectations that we're going to see some slight adjustment, and I'm in camp to, I guess, support the idea that we would still have relatively elevated corn acres. That's the consensus estimate, that we're going to have just less than a million more corn acres than what the February estimate was.
He says the key part of the conversation seems to be, will the shift from corn to soybean acres be as big as the February projections suggest?
Number two.
Safe to eat is beef from cattle that have been infected with hive path avian influenza or the bird flu. According to the Meat Institute, which released a statement saying that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and USDA food experts say that properly prepared beef is safe to eat. Now, President and CEO Julianne Potts says that the bird flu cannot be transmitted to humans by eating meat or poultry products. Adds the Meat Institute and its members' companies will continue to be vigilant to aid in the efforts to stop the spread of the disease among animals in food production.
Number one.
A lot of discussion on what to expect from the prospective plantings report out from USDA on Thursday before, of course, the three-day trading holiday. Joe Camp from Comstock, good Iowa Ag Matters advocate, says there are similar acreage totals typically to the February USDA estimates.
For the most part, we should use those February outlook numbers as a baseline. And it was last year that the corn acreage intentions number went up by 1 million acres above the February estimate, and soybeans were exactly even with that number. And so we do have expectations that we're going to see some slight adjustment, and I'm in camp to, I guess, support the idea that we would still have relatively elevated corn acres. That's the consensus estimate, that we're going to have just less than a million more corn acres than what the February estimate was.
He says the key part of the conversation seems to be, will the shift from corn to soybean acres be as big as the February projections suggest? I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Well, when it comes to growing our exports around the globe, education plays a big part of that. And the U.S. Soybean Export Council's U.S. Soy Excellence Centers are very much a key part of that endeavor. We talk with Southeast Iowa native Tori Sorensen, who is the chair of the Soybean Excellence Centers, next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Value of the checkoff is on display in several different ways here on Iowa Ag Matters today. Andy and Dustin Riley making it sound good. And now a visit with Tori Sorensen, chair of the U.S. Soy Excellence Center, which is checkoff funded. Dustin has more.
We're at Commodity Classic 2024 in Houston, Texas, on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. All of our content here from the show being brought to you by the Iowa Corn Growers Association. Right now at the Soybean Export Council booth, once again, talking with Tori Sorensen. You're the chair, right, of the Soybean Excellence Center?
Correct. I am the chair of the Soy Excellence Center. The Soy Excellence Center was founded in 2019.
All right, so for those of us that are watching this that maybe don't know about what the Soy Excellence Center is, give us kind of a 30,000-foot overview of what that is.
So USEC has always had educational and training programs around the world, helping to build that preference of U.S. soy. Back in 2019, we established the Soy Excellence Centers, where we are reaching the lower to entry, the entry to medium level employees at businesses in emerging and developing markets, really to help bring that capacity and workforce training in those markets.
All right, so as we're going into 2024, what's the kind of things that you're working with on in the training aspect of it, what you're kind of getting these people prepared for?
So since 2019, that's a great question. Since 2019, we have trained over 18,500 individuals in over 40 countries around the world. So we have five different soy excellence centers around the world in Thailand, Nigeria, Egypt, Honduras, and India. And what I'm really excited about for 2024 is bringing India online as our newest soy excellence center.
All right, and so when these people in different countries obviously going through and doing the training, what are you educating them on? What are they walking away with when they finish that training?
So those 18,500 trainees from around the world are really focused on picking between a track on poultry, swine, aquaculture, and feed mill tracks. So keeping in mind, these individuals are entry to medium level employees within their organization. So organizations are using these programs to help build their own individual training programs. So to get a better understanding of the overall how the business in the ag industry works around the world.
All right. And so you talked about a few of the high points. Aquaculture is one I know that's growing quite a bit. I mean, what are you seeing, and where are you seeing that interest in that aspect of it?
That's a great question. So when we were in Honduras a few years ago, we got to see some of the in-pond raceway systems that we have. They have a great tilapia business in Honduras that's actually consuming 100% U.S. soy that's coming into the United States, which is great. When we were in Cairo, Egypt last year, we got to go to World Fish. World Fish is a great aquaculture education center using in-pond raceways to help really bring that protein into the market.
It's March. Even though for the most part this winter has been overly mild, there's still nothing quite like the excitement of planting season and new life and growth right around the corner. It's exhilarating. It's exciting. It's fun. It can be breathtaking. Also be a very dangerous time of year. Hi there, Andy Peterson, the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, with a quick reminder of a few things we can do to help reduce that risk during the very busy planting season, like thoroughly inspecting all equipment before going to fields. Try to rest up, as chronic fatigue can have the same effect on your body as drugs and alcohol, and slowed reaction times can be the difference sometimes between life or death. Planting season is a sprint, yet it's also important to do it right and be cognizant of what's happening around you and come home safely to your families each and every evening. We want to be around to have our discussions about the growing season after planting season has concluded. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, of course, we got things going on around the state, and Andy, you're on the road coming into town today, talking to some of them corn growers and explain what's going on.
Yeah, they're going up to the Capitol, of course, to have some conversations, tell the story of agriculture with their local elected officials, which is always important. Of course, you're hearing about a couple of bills in your three big Iowa Ag Matters that the Secretary of Ag's office is supporting. And there's always legislative efforts that are important to the corn growers. We'll report back to you on that here in the coming days. Next, Dustin takes a look around the state at the cash prices ahead of tomorrow's big USDA report. The numbers in just a moment.
It's time to run down those elevator prices for you here on Iowa Ag Matters for this Wednesday, March the 27th. I'm Dustin Huffman. Seeing corn bids start to improve just a little bit here around the state. Soybean bids, on the other hand, either staying put or pulling back just a few cents. Let's take a look at what we're seeing. Let's start at ADM Burlington. They're 19 cents under on corn. They're at 409. Soybeans 15 cents under at 1178. Cargill and Eddyville, a nickel over on corn. Cash bid 433. New Co-op Algona, a dime under on corn, 418. Soybeans 55 cents under with a cash bid 1138. Ag State Sheldon, 6 cents under on corn. They're at 434. Soybeans 70 cents under at 1123. Ag State Alta, 15 cents under on corn. Cash bid 413. Soybeans 55 cents under at 1138. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 7 cents over on corn, 435. Soybeans a dime under at 1183. Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, 5 cents over on corn. They're at 433. Soybeans 50 cents under at 1143. At Lincoln Way Ethanol, Nevada, they're a nickel over on corn. Cash bid 433. At ADM Des Moines, they're 6 cents under on soybeans. Cash bid 1187. New Co-op Red Oak, a dime under on corn. They're at 418. Soybeans 50 cents under. They're at 1143. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 26 cents under on corn. Cash bid, 402. Soybeans, 51 cents under at 1142. New Co-op Sheraton, 30 cents under on corn, 398. Soybeans, 55 cents under. Cash bid, 1138. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 18 cents under on corn, 410. Soybeans, 40 cents under at 1153. At New Co-op Glidden, they're a dime under on corn, cash bid 418, soybeans 50 cents under at 1143. Innovative Ag Services Farley, 13 cents under on corn, 415, soybeans 44 cents under at 1149 for the cash bid. Cargill Muscatine, 17 cents under on corn, 411, soybeans 15 cents under at 1178. And Cargill Muscatine letting everybody know they will be closed coming up on Friday. Cash corn and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. That's been a check of your basis numbers here on Iowa Ag Matters.
March is game time. As our favorite teams are gearing up for a tournament run, Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers are preparing for the spring planting season ahead. The Iowa Soybean Association is ready to team up with farmers to deliver a winning game plan through innovative research, tools, and technical support that maximizes their soy checkoff investment. Make 2024 your championship season by visiting iasoybeans.com today. The Iowa Soybean Association, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We've still got more to come here on the Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the midday numbers coming up just momentarily. Mark and Andy will have that for you on Iowa Ag Matters. Stay with us.
Well, if you haven't checked out the latest episode of Between the Pods with our friends at the Iowa Soybean Association, let's hear a portion of that conversation right now on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy and Dustin and Mark Magnuson visiting with Iowa Soybean Director of Research, Dr. Christine Wiebeck.
So, Christy, through your role of research and all of the testing that happens and seeing the results and putting them into action, is there still a long way for soybeans to grow? Can they continue to become even more efficient and just a better product all the way around?
I think absolutely yes. And the reason that I say yes is because for the history of soybean breeding, we've really been breeding for traditional conventional tillage operations. We've been breeding and selecting varieties in conventional tillage management practices. And now that we're moving into these conservation practices, breeders are recognizing that, industry is recognizing that, which changes the agronomic needs of the soybean. It changes the management practices the soybean is going to be in. And it changes that whole triangle of management, environment, and genetics. And because of that, you need to develop new soybean varieties that are going to be successful in those systems, and then layer on that climate change and layer on that new uses of soybeans. So we have this trajectory that we can continue to improve yield, improve the quality of the soybean, while shifting to the management practices that we see growers using more day to day.
Is there anything else from today's presentation that you'd like to let our audience know about our Iowa growers and all the work that's being done?
I think partnering with your local agronomist and really understanding what are your needs on the farm, what are the agronomic challenges, what are the management practices that you're raising your soybeans in on the farm, and then identifying those right varieties and having conversations back to industry. One of the biggest asks of all three industry partners was the input from the farmer and making sure that they have that feedback loop into their varietal development process so that they can make sure that they're developing solutions that a farmer is going to want to grow, that's going to be profitable, productive, and sustainable. And so making sure that farmers are sharing their message, sharing that feedback back to industry so that we can continue to drive the soybean industry and the varieties that come in the future.
And is it just information then from the farmers, the best way to get involved on the research side of things, just helping you guys out with what you do?
I think one of the ways that you can get involved with the Research Center for Farming Innovation at Iowa Soybean is contacting our local agronomists. We have a ask page on iowasoybean.com where you can request to get information. You can request to be contacted by one of our research agronomists or conservation agronomists. We don't do varietal trials, but we do a lot of other cool research that is locally relevant, local insights, answering questions that you have on your farm, and that's a great way to get involved with the Research Center for Farming Innovation.
And one more thing I was thinking of, Christy, for growers around the state of Iowa, yes, very similar environment on the whole, but do you take different parts of Iowa into account when you're doing all of your research and trials?
Absolutely. So if we test things in the lobe in the Des Moines Lobe, for example. We know that isn't always going to translate to things that happen in Northwest Iowa or Southeast Iowa. So we may start a project in a very small geography, more of a proof of concept. Do we have the experimental design right? Do we have the interface with the farmers to understand how their equipment is going to handle the experimental design? But once we understand that, we'll broaden it out to statewide trials so that we can get those locally relevant insights back to the farmer, and they can understand from our trial how it's going to react in Northwest Iowa or how it's going to react in Southeast Iowa. Maybe soil types are a factor, but we really want to be able to deliver those locally relevant insights to local challenges that they have in their region.
She is Christy Wiebeck with the Iowa Soybean Association. We are at Farm Forward today in downtown Des Moines. Christy, thanks so much for taking the time to join us here today.
Thank you so much, Mark. It was great to have an opportunity to be on.
Well, thanks again to Christy Wiebeck for joining us here on Iowa Ag Matters. It's time to have Andy Peterson come back in. He's got his next round of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Making progress with the EPA in regard to atrazine herbicide. Of course, the usage had been threatened due to several scientific studies. However, the EPA has now agreed with recommendations from its scientific advisory panel, which removes several of those poor quality studies that played a role in the agency's recommendation for the ultra-low aquatic level of concern for the atrazine. It was first held in 2023 at the request of ag groups in the Triazine Network. The panel considered EPA's white paper and the stakeholder comments to exclude or rescore several questionable studies used to set the aquatic concentration equivalent level of concern. Panel scientists appreciated the farmer and agricultural representatives who testified on the real-world benefits and necessities of atrazine, as well as the real-world consequences of EPA's proposed decisions.
Number two.
A lot of discussion on what to expect from the prospective plantings report out from USDA on Thursday before, of course, the three-day trading holiday. Joe Camp from Comstock, good Iowa Ag Matters advocate, says there are similar acreage totals typically to the February USDA estimates.
For the most part, we should use those February outlook numbers as a baseline. And it was last year that the corn acreage intentions number went up by 1 million acres above the February estimate, and soybeans were exactly even with that number. And so we do have expectations that we're going to see some slight adjustment, and I'm in camp to, I guess, support the idea that we would still have relatively elevated corn acres. That's the consensus estimate, that we're going to have just less than a million more corn acres than what the February estimate was.
He says the key part of the conversation seems to be, will the shift from corn to soybean acres be as big as the February projections suggest?
Number one.
Continuing the effort to increase local processing capacity here in the state, Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nagy says they've got a bill in the legislature that would equal the playing field, or level it, so to speak, for poultry processing.
What you've got is a scenario where poultry processing, small-scale poultry processing, and red meat processing are treated differently. A meat locker can do both official and custom work in their locker, but if you've got poultry processing, you can only do one or the other. We keep hearing about folks saying, you know, I just want a few broilers done, or I want a few turkeys done. I don't want to have to drive many hours out of state to have that done. And so we're working every single way that we can to try to increase that processing capacity.
He says they're also keeping an eye on the budgeting process, as they'll be requesting funding for several conservation projects before the session ends as well. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Well, lots more to get to, including a complete rundown of those midday numbers, see what the grain and livestock is doing here. Mark and Andy have that next on Iowa Ag Matters.
This is the midday market update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Corn today seeing prices 4 cents lower and near the overnight lows. Corn prices faded through Tuesday and ended the day at or near their lows with losses of over a nickel. New crop futures were down by 6¾ cents on Tuesday. Safra San Mercado reported Brazil's corn planting as 97.3% for second crop as of March 22nd. That compares to 94.7% at the same time last year. Soybean prices starting off today with another 3¾ to 6 cent weakness. The July 24, August 24, and January 25 contracts held over the $12 mark for the close, despite 7 to 10¼ cent losses on Tuesday. The other front months were below the round number and closed near their session lows. Preliminary open interest for soybeans rose 11,057 contracts, suggesting net new selling. Most of that was in the July and November contracts. Soy meal futures ended Tuesday with $1.60 to $1.90 losses on the pullback. Front month soy oil futures were 53 to 60 points lower on the day and just 5 points off their session low. Malaysian palm oil futures continue to be well supported, but higher canola crush stimulated traders to fade Monday's rally and give us a turnaround Tuesday. Ag Rural reported Brazilian soybean harvest at 69%, which is now trailing last year by 1 percentage point.
Thanks, Mark, for a check of the latest grain news. I'm Riley Smith filling in for Andy Peterson here on the livestock. Taking a look at the daily cattle slaughter for today is at 125,000. That is 3,000 above a week ago and just shy of what it was a year ago, about 978 shy of a year ago. Taking a look at the current cutout values, the choice load count is at 62 today. Current choice cutout value at 311.09, that is 20 cents above yesterday. And the select load count at 25. Current cutout values for select at 326 cents, and that is $1.70 below yesterday. Moving on to the pigs, the daily hog slaughter for today is estimated at 490,000 head. That is just 1,000 shy of a week ago, but about 9,000 above a year ago. And taking a look at the volume and price range for barrows and gilts purchases, of course, looking at yesterday's for comparison purposes, headcount yesterday was at 5,309, weighted average price at 80.63. That's 54 cents under the previous day, 5-day rolling average at 80.48. And then looking at today's numbers so far, the current volume for negotiated head at 7,535 and formula at 495. We'll look at the numbers next.
Now that the calendar shows March, prep for the 2024 planting season is well upon us, and we'd like to remind you of a few extra steps to help reduce the safety risk during the heat of that planting season. There's the obvious: make sure all that safety equipment is in proper working order as part of your routine preparations, but also try to rest up, as chronic fatigue can have the same effect on your body as drugs and alcohol, and slowed reaction times can be dangerous. This message furnished by the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
At midday, May corn down 3.5 at 429 even. May soybeans down 2¼ at 1196¾. May soybean meal up $1.50 at 341.30. May soybean oil down 76 cents at 47.66. On the Merck, April live cattle down 37 cents at 182.72. April feeder cattle down 10 cents at 245.35. April lean hogs up 60 cents at 86.17. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Well, Dustin mentioned the cattle trade earlier. That, as much as anything, could be maybe a mission accomplished at the record cash price. And everybody threw up their hands and says, all right, now we trade the other way. Let's get the analysis of Jim McCormick from AgMarket.net with Mark Magnuson right now.
And we'll also, of course, get the quarterly grain stocks report tomorrow and a hogs and pigs report. So a lot of information that we are receiving this week. Let's flip over to the other side of the ag marketplace. What's happening with the livestock complex?
In the livestock, at least in the cattle and the feeder cattle, it was a pretty rough day yesterday. A little bit of follow through from a bearish cattle on feed report on Friday. Technically, you took out some long-term moving averages, like on the April feeder cattle, you took out the 200-day moving average. You know, even the April live cattle, you took out the 50-day, you took out the 200-day moving average. It is the end of the month. It's the end of the quarter mark. A lot of funds are along a lot of those products. So when you take out those moving averages, it feels like you saw some fund liquidation. Adding to, obviously, the negative story was the livestock, the dairy herd that's been affected by the avian flu down there in the down there in the Texas, Oklahoma region, I believe. They say it's not a big problem, but, you know, I think stories like that, headlines like that, definitely spooked the market just a little bit, fearful about, you know, how the consumer is going to react to that kind of story. Do they try to shift to a different kind of product because they're just leery about, you know, the headlines that are coming out of that part of the country?
And with us receiving that hogs and pigs report, what's happening right now with the hogs?
Hogs compared to, like, held in there pretty good compared to the livestock. I think they're more of a sideways move. Keep an eye on the April hogs. They are holding yesterday. They kind of rallied early, fell back, but they managed to hold above the 10 to 20 day moving averages. So technically, I think they look pretty strong. I would guess this hog and pig report won't be anything too earth-shattering. We should see this hogs trade sideways. But it could be interesting to see. If the cattle market really comes under pressure, that might bleed into the hogs, because I think you're seeing the hog strength come in a little bit because of the high price of beef. You are starting to hear reports of consumers shifting away from the beef, maybe to the pork or chicken protein to try to save a little bit of money.
And then, Jim, of course, we also have hanging over everything the strange situation where we get all of this information tomorrow. Then we have Good Friday off and a 3-day weekend. So it is going to be interesting to see what happens on Monday as well.
No doubt about it. I mean, that might take some of the edge off, especially in the hog and pig report, because that's not going to come out till after the close. The grain market, we will be trading through that report, obviously, that comes out at 11. But yeah, it does add a little bit of volatility to the market as people go home for that, you know, Easter holiday.
So a lot of moving parts right now, and we'll be interested in learning all about what those reports hold tomorrow. Jim, thanks so much for the time. What's the best way for our listeners to get in touch for more marketing information?
You can reach me directly at 815-665-0461. Reach any of the Ag Market team members at 844-424-6758. Better yet, go to agmarket.net, sign up for our research, and sign up for a free trial of our new app that we're going to be releasing in April.
Jim McCormick of agmarket.net, thanks so much, and have a great rest of your week.
Thank you for having me on.
March is game time. As our favorite teams are gearing up for a tournament run, Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers are preparing for the spring planting season ahead. The Iowa Soybean Association is ready to team up with farmers to deliver a winning game plan through innovative research, tools, and technical support that maximizes their soy checkoff investment. Make 2024 your championship season by visiting iasoybeans.com today. The Iowa Soybean Association, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, as we keep going here on Iowa Ag Matters, going to get our weekly update on what's happening in South America. Some news coming out of the Buenos Aires Exchange might be a little bit different in their numbers than what USDA has been projecting all along. We'll get the rundown on that as Riley Smith talks with Greg McBride a little later on here, next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, as we look towards perhaps a bullish surprise in tomorrow's USDA report, it may not come from acreage. It might have to come from the supply side. To that end, the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange making some cuts to the South American crop that could play a factor. Greg McBride now visiting with Riley Smith on the South American update.
First off, Greg, what's the latest weather patterns looking like for Brazil and Argentina?
Well, the eastern section of Brazil is a little bit on the drier side. So is the southern section, but the bulk of the country is still seeing very good rains. Argentina still getting hit with some heavier rains. They are drying out just a little bit in some of the northern and far eastern portions of the country, but some of the central portions where the big production are at are still under pretty heavy rains, and that's causing some concerns. So as we go into the 6 to 10 day forecast, as I said, it does start to dry out a little bit, but then the rains pick up in the back half of that forecast as well for Argentina. So there are some concerns about too much precipitation down there. In Brazil, some of those areas that are harvesting are actually seeing some drier portions in the 6 to 10 day forecast. So that'll be something to watch. Not necessarily that it's going to make a huge difference to the overall production, but it is something to watch, whereas the rest of the country is still seeing decent rains. And then in the 11 to 15 day, it does turn back drier in Argentina. So hopefully with the with a little bit of that sunshine, it'll dry things out. They can continue to see that production phase move on. But very heavy rains coming through the bulk of Brazil in that 11 to 15 day forecast. That'll have to be watched as they are trying to finish up some of that first crop corn harvest and beans, as well as getting into that production phase for for second crop safrina corn.
Well, and then speaking of Brazil, how are those crop progress numbers looking down there right now?
69% for soybeans. That is in line with the five-year average. So they have slowed down a little bit. A few weeks ago and a couple of months ago when they had first started, they were way, way ahead of the pace. But now they're slowing down just a touch. Still ahead of the of where they were at last year at 67%. So still moving right along with the soybean harvest there. On the corn side of things, they're 58%, so that is in line with the five-year average, still about 5% ahead of last year as well. And then on safrina corn planting, they're almost at 97%. Last year would have been 95, and the five-year average puts them at 94. So that second crop corn is pretty well in the ground. A lot of it is actually, you know, it's been such a long planting progress that some of that is actually in a pollination phase at this point as well.
All right, and then we also saw some changes to estimates from the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange. You know, what did we see different from there, and how are they, you know, kind of standing in comparison to the USDA right now?
Yeah, so on the last USDA report, the USDA raised Argentina's corn crop to 56 million metric tons. The Buenos Aires Grain Exchange was at 56.5. Now they've lowered their estimate to 54. So they're looking at this and saying that there's detrimental impacts from the hot and dry conditions that they saw in February. And they also had some other issues with bacteria and some pest issues. So they're saying 54 million metric tons. They did leave their bean estimate at 50, which is exactly where the USDA is at. So as far as Argentina goes, maybe not quite as good as what everybody had thought. This is a rebound year after a drought year. So we were looking for getting back above 50, and so far that's where we're at. It's just a matter of it was good, but maybe it's not as good as expectation.
All right, Greg, lots of great information today. For those of our listeners who'd like to get in touch and learn more from the folks at Allendale, how can they do that?
Give us a call at 800-2-MARKET. That's 800-262-7538.
Ah, it's March. Even though, for the most part, this winter has been overly mild, there's still nothing quite like the excitement of planting season and new life and growth right around the corner. It's exhilarating. It's exciting. It's fun. It can be breathtaking. It can also be a very dangerous time of year. Hi there, Andy Peterson, the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, with a quick reminder of a few things we can do to help reduce that risk during the very busy planting season, like thoroughly inspecting all equipment before going to fields. Try to rest up, as chronic fatigue can have the same effect on your body as drugs and alcohol, and slowed reaction times can be the difference sometimes between life or death. Planting season is a sprint, yet it's also important to do it right and be cognizant of what's happening around you and come home safely to your families each and every evening. We want to be around to have our discussions about the growing season after planting season has concluded. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, it's been another great show here. We're coming to the end of. Andy, thanks for joining us, and good luck today up on the hill. Riley, thanks for making us sound good as always, and thanks to you for listening out there. We'll see you tomorrow on Iowa Ag Matters.